I have no idea, all right? Okay. Just got your attention, though, didn't it, huh? Matthew chapter 24. Jesus just finishing talking with the religious leaders in the temple. That's now done. Pick it up at 24. Jesus is now leaving the temple. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. I think, you know, he has said so many things to the Pharisees and the Herodians and, you know, the Sadducees and all these folks. And I think just the disciples are trying to bring some positive stuff in here. Well, even all that negative stuff's going on, Lord. Even all this stuff is happening. But look, isn't this a beautiful building? You know, and it was one of the wonders of the world. It was an absolutely incredible building that had been built. And it was just, we can't even explain today how it was built. We don't know how they got the stones from where they were quarried and how they were able to lay them on top of each other. And it's a modern question for us. We don't know how they did it. It was absolutely incredible. So they're looking at this beautiful masterpiece and they say, isn't this absolutely gorgeous? Jesus looks at them and said, you see all these things? Pointing back to the temple. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, when he said that, they had to be absolutely mesmerized what he's talking about, because that would be impossible. All right, the stones they're talking about are 20 feet high, 20 feet wide, 40 feet long. All right, these are the stones. We're not talking about just little stones here. We're talking 20 by 20 by 40. Huge stones. And he says, hey, there's a day coming when every one of these stones will be taken down and there will not be one on top of another. Impossible. Well, 40 years later, when a Roman army came into Jerusalem, they had seized Jerusalem and they came into Jerusalem, and as a general by the name of Titus, he gave the order to leave the temple alone. One of the soldiers, history tells us he was probably drunk, but one of the soldiers fired a flaming arrow into the temple, caught it on fire. Titus told them to put that fire out immediately, and they didn't do it. They continued to shoot these fiery arrows into the temple, and it began to burn. And the heat became so intense, it began to melt. At 9/11, we remember the Trade Center, when that devastation happened, the reason it crumbled the way it did was because of the melting of the steel, remember? And nobody would have ever figured out how that happened. It would have happened, but that's what it did, because of the intense heat. Well, the intense heat here got so hot that the gold in the temple, remember the gold and the silver? You read about it in the Old Testament on how much was in there and what was required. Well, the gold in the temple from this heat began to melt. And as it melted, it just came down over through the rocks, under the rocks, in between, and there was all of this incredible gold and silver there, you know, that had been melted and now is in between the rocks. Well, Titus and his army looked at all of this gold and all of this silver and said, that needs to be ours because it was so much. So they literally took one stone at a time on top of the other until they laid it totally flat so that they could harvest, so to speak, the gold and the silver in the temple. 40 years later. Actually, about 37 years later, the fulfillment of this prophecy that Jesus said, the day is coming, and it transpired in 70 AD. Now, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the coming siege of Jerusalem by the Romans some 37 years later began at this exact spot here where Jesus is now sitting. Well, the disciples came to him privately, away from other people, all these pilgrims that were in the city for the Passover. They came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" Or it should say, at the end of the age. Now, they think they're asking one question, but they're asking three. They're asking three questions here. When shall these things be, where the temple is, you know, totally destroyed, that we won't stone upon another? Secondly, what shall be the sign of your coming? And thirdly, what will be the end of the age? Now, in Matthew 24, there's kind of an intermingling of answers to all three questions. And so you're going to see that some of the answers have to do specifically with nations. Some of the answers have to do specifically with the nation of Israel. Some of the answers have to do with events during the tribulation. Some of the answers have to do with things just preceding the tribulation. So they're kind of just kind of merging here together and intermingled here together. First of all, in beginning here, you know, it's talking about things relating, you know, to the nations. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." You know what's interesting is, this didn't happen until after Jesus Christ came. You don't read a lot about history where there were all kinds of people claiming to be the Messiah until Jesus Christ came. Why? Well, you don't counterfeit a $200 bill, do you? Because there is no such thing. You only counterfeit what is real. You're going to counterfeit a $100 bill, not a $200 bill, because Jesus Christ came, who was the real Messiah, who was the one whom God had said would come, all right? Then many came after that proclaiming to be the Messiah, counterfeiting that which was real. Still true today. You know, there are elements of the church today that claim that, you know, we become little Christs. We do not, okay? We are children of God. We do not become little. I've never met anybody yet that's become a little Christ, okay? But there are many today that claim to be the Messiah. You know, Moon claimed to be, and you can go on and on and on. But he's warning them, and you'll hear that a lot today. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. I read somewhere that today there are 40 tons of explosives, and one major weapon of destruction on this planet for every human being. They asked someone what he thought the weapons would be in World War III. He said, "I have no idea what the weapons will be in World War III, but in World War IV, there'll be rocks." Okay? Because everything else will be destroyed. So he says, you know, these things are going to be going on, wars and rumors of wars. Now, those there's always been wars and rumors of wars, but the intensity, the increasing now, it's incredible as we see, you know, what's happening in North Korea and Iran and all over the world with the abilities to do things that were never available before. Wars and rumors of wars. "See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Beginning, but the end is not yet." That means the end will come at the second coming. That's what he's talking about. He says, "These things have started, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and all kinds of places." I mean, you don't even need to talk about these things. I mean, you see each one of these things happening. Read your newspapers. Read articles. You know, watch your television. Watch you know, news programs. You see that these things are happening now constantly, man. Famines. People are going to bed every night all over the world, even in our country, hungry. Pestilences. There's an explosion of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, that's in epidemic proportions. Pestilence. And all these are the beginning of sorrows or labor pains, birth pains. What labor pains, see? What's he talking about? And they come in waves. That's what he's talking about. These things come in waves. Labor pains start, they're heavy, then sometimes they stop again, and you know, they back off a little bit, and then they increase again, and they you know, they come in waves until it's time for the delivery, and then there's the major thrust, and you know, that's what it's talking about here. These kinds of things, they come in waves. You see these things happening, and you see, you know, the Katrinas, and you see the tsunamis, and you see these things, and the devastating earthquakes, and all of these things, they come in waves, and oh man, just come. Then you don't hear about it again for a while. Well, it's talking about birth pangs. Okay. They back off for a little bit, but then they come again and they get a little more intense. Each time the pains come back, they get more intense and more intense. That's what he's talking about here. We see the increase of earthquakes and all these things. It's incredible today. When you compare the earthquakes or any of these things you're talking about here with 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I think this is probably talking about the midpoint of the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist, whom Israel thought was the Messiah, will show his true colors. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I believe by this time, millions of Jews will be saved during the tribulation. I believe that. I believe that's the way I read my Bible. They were going to see that in the book of Revelation as we're going through. And because of that, they're going to be hated by all nations. And that's what this is talking about here. And then shall many be offended. Many Jews will accept Christ, which will be an offense to others. I mean, give me a break. And of 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 144,000 Billy Grahams or Greg Laurie's or whatever you want to call them, man, all over the world, sharing the gospel with Jews. You know, this is the day of the Gentiles. But there comes a point there where the day of the Gentiles is over, and we fulfill the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel. And during the tribulation, It's an evangelistic thrust to the Jews. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, why will iniquity abound? Well, the Antichrist is called the son of the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And the love of many, excuse me, shall wax cold. I believe during this time that many are going to turn away from Christ during this time. But he who shall endure unto the end, refers to the end of the Great Tribulation, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What is the end? The second coming. Now, I've heard this taught so many times. And this gospel of the kingdom, the same gospel preached by Jesus Christ and by Paul, and shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, I've heard this taught that we better get busy in missions, because there's a lot of people that haven't heard yet, and until they hear, Jesus Christ can't come. But the way I read this, and the end shall come, we're talking about the second coming of Jesus. There's two parts to the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's the rapture of the church, there's the coming for the saints, and there's the coming with the saints. But the end of all things is when Jesus Christ comes with all saints. Okay, it tells us in the book of Revelation, we're going to see that as we're going through Revelation, it tells us in the book of Revelation, there's going to be a time when the angels are even circling the earth, telling the earth about Jesus Christ. Okay, we do our best to spread the gospel, we do our best to go to the nations, we do our best to do missions, but I'm telling you, God is not relying on us to spread the gospel to all nations. Because if he was doing that, we'd never get out of here, man. Rapture would never happen because it would just we wouldn't do it, man. We try, but it's not up to us. And I thank God it's not. So when all nations hear, the end will come. The second coming, when Jesus Christ comes back with his church. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. This is talking about the Antichrist invading Israel. This is the middle of the tribulation. I told you this is all interwoven here. Middle of the tribulation. The Antichrist goes into the temple, desecrates the temple by demanding that he be worshipped in the Holy of Holies. It's at that point. See, he has helped the Jews rebuild their temple. He has helped the Jews in the first half of the tribulation. Many of them are, this guy is it, man. He showed us how to have peace, you know, in the Middle East here, and everything is wonderful, and this is great. And you know, he's rebuilt our temple and we can worship again as a nation. This is wonderful. But after 3.5 years of this pseudo-peace, he reveals who he is and he goes into the Holy of Holies and he demands to be worshiped as God. At that point, the Jews will understand who he is and they will turn and rebel. And this is the point where millions of Jews will realize they have been deceived, they missed it in the first place, and they will turn to Jesus Christ. Then let him who be in Judea flee into the mountains. This is when that happens, okay? The middle of the tribulation. When the Antichrist invades Israel, at the midpoint of the great tribulation, let them which in Judea flee the mountains, get out of there. It's going to be terrible. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Houses in that area have flat roofs, okay? And they kind of hang out. In the summer, they hang out on their rooftop. That's their patio. That's where they kind of, you know, they kick it together and have a great time there, all right? So he says, you know, woe unto those that are up there. Neither let them which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them who are with child, unto them who give suck in those days, who are nursing their children. In other words, the necessity of fleeing will be so urgent out of Jerusalem that it will be difficult for pregnant women and mothers with little babies to even get out. It's going to be so heavy when this comes down in the middle of the tribulation. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, because there's bad weather, neither on the Sabbath, because of the strict religious observances. There's no public transportation. There's nothing going on. They're not supposed to travel very far. So that would be a real problem. For then shall be great tribulation. Now we move into the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The worst the world has ever known, and it will be so bad it will never be repeated. It's incredible. We'll see it in great detail in the book of Revelation. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, Israel's sake, those days shall be shortened. How are they going to be shortened? By the second coming of Jesus. Okay, he's going to come at a period of time when it says, that's it, it's over, that's enough, he's going to come. So they're going to be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Don't be deceived. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. And they'll show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if they were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. During that time, the Antichrist and others that are going to be partnering with him are going to be doing everything they can to deceive the Jews. This is directly to the Jews here, to deceive the Jews that they are the Christ. Because so much is going to be going on, and so many are becoming to the real Christ, and they're going to do everything they can. So he said, don't be deceived. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go there. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. And the next verse says, now, you know, if he says he's out in the desert, or he's over here, or he's in this building or whatever, don't believe it. And he says, here's how you're going to know whether it's him or not. For as the lightning comes, verse 27, out of the east and shines even unto the west, this is to proclaim the most cataclysmic event the world has ever known, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. No one will have to ask, is this the Christ? Okay. When they're saying, hey, we're out here in the desert, we're over here in this building, hey, come, the Christ is over here. Is that the Christ or not? When Jesus Christ comes, no one will be asking, is that the Christ? Because there will be such a cataclysmic event that the world has never seen before. Jesus Christ is going to be coming with such a power and such an event, the world has never, ever seen it before. For wheresoever the carcass is, speaking of the Battle of Armageddon, there will the eagles be gathered together. Actually, vultures. Read about that in Ezekiel 39:17. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, speaks of the time immediately preceding the second coming, just before Jesus comes with his church, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Do you notice I keep saying the second part of the second coming, he's coming with his church. First part, he came and got his church out of here. Okay? That was at the beginning of the tribulation. We're not going to be part of this that we're reading about. Okay? Because this is the wrath of God poured out on unbelieving men. God's wrath has already been poured out on us when Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. And there's no double jeopardy. We don't receive God's wrath again. That was poured out on Jesus. Okay. So when all of this happens, when he comes, when that great event happens in the sky, and all of a sudden he shows up right in the midst of the Battle of Armageddon, we's going to be with him. Okay. He's going to show up. He's going to land there, and we're going to be there. I don't know what we're going to look like or what we're going to be doing or what we're going to be wearing or anything else, man, but I'm going to be there, and I'm excited about that, man. Because during all of this time that we're reading about here and all of these incredible events, the stuff we're going to see in Revelation that is going to boggle your mind, you know, hail and all this stuff's happening, man, we're going to be having a great time in heaven. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be the bema seat of Christ. We're going to be, you know, going to the little video places and seeing all the events. I don't know if that happens or not. But, you know, seeing all the stuff that happened and I want to see. We're going to be sitting down talking to Paul and Peter and Samson and, you know, all the guys and all the gals, you know. It's going to be incredible, man. We're just going to be hanging out, just feasting our eyes on Jesus. We're going to sit down and have the most incredible feast. See, we're in November now, and we're, you know, us guys are already thinking about turkey dinner, man, all right? And all the trimmings, man. Okay. But I'll tell you what, I didn't hold a candle to the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, I think it's really cool to Jesus that there's going to be food in heaven, don't you? Huh? I think that's really cool, man. But it's going to be incredible. No, you can't gain weight there. It's okay, man. Okay. No, I don't think there's any calories in any of the food in heaven. I don't know, man. You know, angel food cake? Okay. No devil's food. All in angel food cake. But it's going to be incredible. So that's where we're going to be, man. Getting, receiving our rewards and giving them back to Him. Feasting on Him. Oh. Can you imagine just eating and not worrying about anything? Huh? Give me more. I lost myself here. I don't know where I was because I was so excited about that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, a display of heavenly fireworks at the second coming. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. You know what that's about? Over in Zechariah, the prophet there in chapter 13, I believe it's about verse 6, talks about this event, talks about when the Jews finally see Jesus. And they ask the question, who did this to him? And the answer is, you did. They will mourn because of their rejection of him. They will mourn at what they had done. I think that's what this is talking about here. And they shall see the Son of Man. Notice Christ and his human glorified body. We're going to take... probably not this Saturday night, probably the next Saturday night, and then the one after that, we'll probably take at least 2 weeks talking about the section in chapter 1 where it talks about the glorified Christ. Because there's so much there, what the glorified Christ looks like. It's incredible, man. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet announcing the gathering of Israel. And they shall gather together his elect Israel from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. She will be gathered from all over the world and brought to Israel. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Bible presents three trees, the fig, the olive, and the vine, as representing the nation of Israel. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, this is meant to serve as the illustration of Israel nationally, you know that summer is near. First, Israel is the greatest prophetic sign of all. So likewise you, points to the modern church, us, when you shall see all these things, you will know that it is near, even at the doors, the fulfillment of end time prophecy. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I believe it's talking about the generation that sees the fulfilling of the fig tree, which is the nation of Israel, becoming a nation again. In 1948, I believe we're that generation, will not pass away until all of these things shall be fulfilled. I believe we're in the most exciting generation of all times. I really believe that. I believe that we are in the rapture generation. And it's absolutely incredible, man. We're the only generation that's just all of a sudden, we're gone, man. You know? Oh, I don't know about you, but I am so ready. I am so ready. I keep asking people, are we going soon? Heaven and earth shall pass away. That's not annihilation. That's just a change from one condition to another. But my word shall not pass away. What the word of God says will be, guys, that's it. But of that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, now here's some stuff relating to the church now. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. That just simply means business as normal, business as usual. That's all it's talking about here. There was nothing exceptional about marrying, giving in marriage, you know, eating, drinking, all of that stuff. They were just doing life as normal. That's just what, that's what we're doing now. We eat, we drink, we marry, we give, we just do this stuff. That's what's going on. Just kind of, you know, not worried about anything else. In other words, in the days of Noah, they were giving no credence at all to Noah's message. Noah's message was, hey, it's going to rain. And they go, what's rain? Do you realize it had not rained before that time? All of the plants had been watered previously by mist that would come up from the ground. There had been no rain. Water had never fallen from the sky. So now Noah's going around telling everybody, I'm building this big boat. Why? Because water's going to fall from the sky and the whole world's going to be wet, covered with water, and you got to get in a boat so you don't drown in the water that's going to fall out of the sky. So the people's response was, you're nuts. You're a crazy old man. This man preached for 100 years. Talk about depression. Not one single convert. Not one in 100 years. He must not have been a very good preacher, but I'm telling you, for 100 years, not one convert, man. Every time I'm talking to pastors and stuff, and they're discouraged about their churches or what's going on inside, I just think of Noah. You know? Have you had any converts yet? Nope. Well, you got 100 years ago. That's what it's talking about here. They gave no credence. So, Noah's going around telling everybody, hey, I got this big ship I'm building here. Out getting, gathering the animals together. It must have been quite a sight, you know. Gathering all the animals together, getting them on. What are you doing, Noah? Getting ready for the rain coming out of the sky. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen, all right. Paying no attention. Okay. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Means they watched him build the ark, heard him preach righteousness, but didn't pay any attention to it. And knew not until the flood came. They didn't believe the message until the water began to fall out of the sky. They're going, uh-oh. And they were all drowned and eternally lost. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay? Business as usual. Just doing what we're doing. You got some preachers telling everybody Jesus is coming soon. You got a lot of events happening. You got a lot of people studying prophetic things in these days. Got a lot of books being written. One of the biggest sellers of all time, you know, has been the Left Behind series. World's hearing about the soon return of Jesus. They read the book and say, whoa, that was good reading. Let's go get drunk. Let's go party. Let's go out to eat. Let's go buy some clothes. Let's go get a new car. Let's go buy a house. Let's go on vacation. Jesus isn't coming soon. I'm not saying any of those things are bad, except the drunk part. Okay. Because if I don't add that, then you go home and say, see, honey, he said that was okay. I got to watch what I say to this group. You know, normal churches, you have no problem. They understand. This church, you got to just, no, I'm just kidding. But it's just the same as it was in the time of Noah. There were just the messages out there. I mean, everybody was talking about the Left Behind series. Business as usual. Okay? We're going about doing whatever we do. So during that time, then two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. A couple of people are going to be out working in the farm. One's a believer, one isn't. All of a sudden, whoop. Yeah. One's gone. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. Well, if we don't do that. Two women are going to be shopping at pavilions. Okay. One's going to be taken. The other one's going to be left to pay the bill. Okay. My friend's gone and I have to pay for her groceries too, man. And then the checker's gone. What are you going to do, man? That's what it's talking about here. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord comes. But know this, that the goodman of the house had known at which in which watch the thief would come. He would have watched and would have not had suffered his house to be broken up. As unexpected as this will likewise be the coming of the Lord. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? First, all of us, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, in this case the church, to give them meat in due season. God has called people with given the responsibility for properly feeding the flock, to give them meat in due season. If you read the Left Behind series, you realize that they began to gather in one of the churches, and one of the pastors of that church, after the rapture, realized that he had not been teaching the truth and realized that, you know, the truth was the rapture of the church. And now he understood, and now he began to teach the truth of the tribulation force and so forth. And that's what's going to be happening, because God has given to the church men who are to teach the truth of God's word with no holds barred, holding nothing back, not worrying about what people think about it, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Faithfulness until the rapture, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this is talking about. Don't you want to be faithful until the rapture? Verily I say unto you, three of us in here want to be. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, exactly what the modern church is saying. Or there's a new doctrine in the church now that's saying it's already happened. The raptures are there. In fact, there is no rapture. You know, we're in the millennium, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where he's put everything back perfectly. Have you read the newspaper today or watched any television or anything? Yeah. I know how people buy into some of this stuff. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him and an hour that he is not aware of. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Despite his profession from his mouth, it's what's in his heart, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I guess all I wanted to tell you tonight was this. In light of the end times, and I believe with my whole heart that we're in the end times. That's why we're going to do the. I'm not trying to promote the Revelation series. It's just that I've been studying on it, and it's just. The reason I'm doing this is because I believe we're in the last days. Okay, it's a tough book to teach to make it, you know, try to make it understandable, but I'm doing it because I believe we're in the last days. We need to know what's going on. We need to be excited about the soon return of Jesus Christ, man. And in light of the end times, we are to be faithful, we are to be watchful, And we are to be wise. Did you hear me? Faithful to the things of God. Faithful to his calling. Watchful. Look up. Your redemption draws very, very near. And wise. Wise to the truth. Don't be ripped off by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. Don't just buy into the latest fads. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Oh, but Pastor Chuck, I've heard it before. My grandma used to talk about that, and he hasn't come back. Well, he's a lot closer now than he was when grandma used to talk about it, isn't he? Huh? The only thing that's keeping him back is there's still a few sheep that need to come into the corral, man. And when those sheep are in, we're out. That's it, man. You know? And there's a time that's appointed. And when that clock strikes, that moment, nothing will stop. He knows the exact moment. Nobody else does what he does. We can know the seasons. We can know the times. We know that now. We're that generation. I believe we're that generation. I mean, I don't know how you would even live today seeing all the stuff that's going on. You know, just we've got some really, really weird people in high positions all over the world that just, you know, are a little bit kooky. All right, in Iran and in North Korea and places, and you know, some of these guys can just, you know, make some really weird decisions, and this world's cooked. Before that happens, we're out of here. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm putting all my eggs in that basket, man. I really am. I just believe he's coming, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be teaching prophetic stuff. We're going through the Word just like we always do, but I just believe that we're going to keep our eye on the newspaper, and when I see stuff that you need to hear about, we're going to talk about it, you know, as we're going through, because I just believe that I want this church to be looking up. Let's stand. Are you ready to go home? I don't mean tonight because I'm through, man. Are you ready to go home? Huh? Are you? Jesus, come quickly. We want to be busier about your business, Lord. If there's folks in our lives we're supposed to share with, help us to open up our mouths and share with them. Maybe they're the last few. Maybe they're the last one. I don't know. But Lord, we want to be busy about your business. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah. Just keep your eyes closed for a minute, you know. If you're here tonight and you're not sure, you know, when we talk about this kind of stuff, maybe your response is, this scares me. Or maybe your response is, I don't believe any of this stuff. You know, your belief doesn't alter truth. My belief doesn't change truth. Truth is truth. And if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he calls his church home, you won't be part of that. You will go through some of the stuff we read about tonight. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you the truth, man. What do I have to do, Chuck? Well, you have to crawl on your hands and knees down Date Palm for 3 miles. Beat your head in the wall. That's what the world would say. We have to earn it. But Jesus said you can't earn it. There's not one thing you can do to earn his forgiveness. That's why it was necessary for Jesus to come and die on the cross for us. Because God had spoken that the soul that sins must die. And the wages of sin is death. But because God so loved the world, he took our place. He became our substitute in that death. And he was nailed to the cross so that we could be forgiven. And that blood sacrifice, the Passover lamb, you see it in the Old Testament when the angel came and put the blood of the sacrificial lamb over the doorposts. Death passed by that house. Jesus became our paschal lamb. And death now passes over those who have allowed the blood to be sprinkled on their hearts. The doorpost was on top and on each side. It just denoted a cross. The cross that Jesus died on. If you've not received him, you ought to do that tonight, or rather soon, because one day it'll be too late. What do I have to do, Chuck? Just simply in your heart, Jesus, I surrender. I confess I'm a sinner, and I need to be forgiven by what you did on the cross for me. I believe that you're God and died for me. I receive your atoning death for my sin. You know what? You pray a prayer like that, and Jesus Christ has immediately forgiven you. You've received his forgiveness. He writes your name down in his book for eternity. He loves you so much, he had you come tonight to hear this truth. Father, if there be those tonight that have not received you and need to do that, that you would speak to their hearts even now. Just pray in your heart a simple prayer like this. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I confess I am a sinner. I need to be forgiven. I receive your forgiveness. Fill me with your spirit. Break the bondages in my life. I choose to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that prayer or something similar, there's going to be some of us up front here that would love to talk to you, man. Get you moving on your walk with Jesus. Answer some questions. So as we close, there'll just be some of us up here, okay? Thank you.